again, my name is Charles Sargent, and I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Sins of Henry County. And again, I am also the author of the book, Sins of Henry County, in which this podcast will be a prequel and a sequel to it. There's a tremendous amount of information in the book that will not be covered here, and most of everything that's on here is not in the book. On the last episode, I introduced to you four murders that took place on November the 7th, 1974, and have been covered up ever since.
Okay, I'm going to start out this podcast doing something I truly dread doing. I'm going to force myself to create podcast number 10. As I've stated before, I have listeners to my podcast in over 1,433 cities in 44 countries around the world. This is something that is amazing, but the thing that is more amazing is that not one person in the news media, particularly in Atlanta, will even talk to me. The reason for that is because they're afraid of the GBI. If the news media exposes corruption that existed in 1974, the GBI will cut them off when the media will need details on ongoing investigations. This will affect their ratings. They don't want to mess with the GBI. I don't mind taking on the GBI. Now, this is not about all GBI employees, officers. There was a handful back in 74 that need to be dealt with, or at least the truth be known. I know there were many individuals in law enforcement communities who were involved in facilitating the trafficking of drugs into the Atlanta airport to be dispersed around the world. This is the operation that police officer Eugene Barge was working on at the time of his murder. I know this because I spoke with Officer Barge's superior officer in College Park Police Department, Captain Sheets. The law enforcement precincts that border the Atlanta airport are College Park and Hayville police departments. No one will confirm this other than Officer Sheets, who passed away, and the son of Barge's best friend, but they knew Barge was working undercover for Governor Jimmy Carter. Law enforcement officials throughout Georgia turning a blind eye and getting paid to allow trafficking of drugs in Georgia was Jimmy Carter's number one problem. I have proof that individuals within these precincts and the GBI were dirty, and that in their investigation by the GBI, when this case came up, the GBI learned something they never wanted the public to know. This is why when I met with Agent Atkins at the GBI, she stole documents to prove my case. All of this is in my previous podcast. Now, as to finishing the last several episodes, which would be the most damaging, and I also know who paid for Marvin King and his mistress to be murdered, while the Sheriff Jimmy Glass in Henry County already knew the Dixie Mafia was coming into town because he was up to his neck in drug trafficking and wanted to protect his enterprise. The bottom line about dragging my feet on this podcast, I truly don't think anyone cares. But I'm going to force myself to continue this story and finish it. So we'll go on from here. Early morning, November the 7th, 1974, a Thursday. One of the first, if not the first, individual that actually came by and found Barge laying in the street was a friend of his. He recognized immediately he needed to go another mile up the road and tell his wife. Somebody within the family or this gentleman called College Park Police Department and explained what happened. And the first person to arrive on the scene that day was Barge's police chief, Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, Mr. Sheets. But Barge lived in rural Atlanta, Fulton County, and he worked in College Park. So when the officer from Atlanta Police Department arrived on the scene, he dismissed Mr. Sheets, Captain Sheets, and told him that he would take this investigation. It was not on his jurisdiction or in his purview. And the normal police officer, I don't have his name right hand at hand, he was relieved probably around by 9 o'clock for some odd reason. And it turns out that Reginald Eaves, who actually was the police commissioner in the Fulton County, Atlanta area, ordered another officer to pick up and take over the investigation, and his name was Tom Townsend, and he became the lead detective in the Barge murder. I have read all of the FBI and GBI files. Officer Townsend was in charge of everything from the GBI to the FBI as far as the investigation goes. The morning of the murder, there was something like 30 FBI agents on Rico Road at the murder scene. But as it turns out, the FBI only acted in the capacity of documenting evidence that the GBI and the Atlanta Police Department found or discovered or uncovered. They just created documents. They didn't do any investigations. But Tom Townsend was the man in charge. And as you remember, the three white guys in a white van that were extradited back from Florida, he was in charge of the interrogation, the administering of polygraph exams. I think each one of them got 3 polygraph exams. In the FBI report, the FBI say the guys were involved. They were dirty. One of them may have been even the shooter, but he wasn't, but he was involved. These guys were found with bloody clothes at the dump, which would not have come from Eugene Barge because he was shot from a distance. He fell to the ground and they exited the scene. In Henry County, Marvin King was murdered. And the orders there were to hide the bodies, hoping that they would not be found for months or maybe a year. And then Jimmy Glass would say, we don't have anything to go on. There's no hard evidence here. So other than failing a polygraph exam, 3 of them, having bloody clothes found at the dump, and these 3 white guys in a white van were seen leaving the crime scene and heading back to Atlanta, which is suspicious to the highest level. I don't think anybody saw these 3 white guys leaving the scene. I think these were, I hate to use the word honest cops, these were cops that had been taking money for facilitating the trafficking of drugs into the Atlanta airport. They were up to their neck in illegal activity, but they did not condone the murder of a fellow police officer. They had no way of stopping it ahead of time because the Dixie Mafia would have put them 6 foot under. So the only thing they could do was leak information to get the guilty parties arrested and sentenced, and justice prevail for Eugene Barge. But the cover-up was just too strong. and Lewis Slayton, the DA of Atlanta, Fulton County, dropped all charges on these three thugs and let them go. Now, Reginald Lees, as I mentioned, was the police chief that stepped in and took the normal detective off of Barge's case after he dismissed Captain Sheets from College Park. Reginald Lees put in Tom Townsend. Well, you need to keep in mind that Reginald Lees was the police commissioner of Atlanta Police Department, and he went to prison. He was as dirty as they come, and he was sent to prison shortly after this. Now, let's talk about Lewis Slayton. Why did Lewis Slayton dismiss charges on three suspects that did not commit the murder, but they were associates, they were partners in? And the reason why they were there, they weren't really needed to kill Eugene Barge. A hitman, Robert William Johnson, did that when Kathleen Scully laid in the road and got him to stop police and got police officer Barge to stop and get out of the truck to investigate why she was laying in the road. And then the Dixie Mafia hitman, Robert William Johnson, shot him with a shotgun once or twice in the third round, jammed and misfired, and he ejected that shell, and it fell on the ground. And as an indication in the evidence that his gun jammed, he pulled out a .38 Taurus revolver and shot Eugene Barge in the head three times and left the scene. The reason why the three guys in the white van were employed that day is because they had orders to go to Henry County and kill two more people, Marvin King and Melanie Ann Hartsfield, murdered, is that they wanted the bodies moved and drug into an area where they could not be found. Their hopes were that they would not be found for months, and by then they would be nothing but skeletal remains, and Jimmy Glass, the sheriff, could easily say, we don't have anything to go on, case closed. Now, the murders happened on November the 7th, 1974. November the 7th, 1974. Lewis Slayton, the DA in Fulton County, Atlanta area, dismissed charges on the three white suspects on December the 1st, I think it was, a month later. This was December the 1st, 1974. In 1978, there is a murder trial in the murder of Eugene Barge put on by Lewis Slayton. 4 years later, four years later. Now, it is my belief from reading the transcripts from that trial that it was nothing but another dog and pony show. I think Lewis Slayton had to do something to show that he wanted to bring justice for Eugene Barge, because he had done absolutely nothing but cover up the truth so far. And I have talked to Atlanta officers, and I have talked to Atlanta police officers that knew Tom Townsend and Lewis Slayton. Some of them actually worked on the case, and they have nothing good to say about Townsend, and even less to say about Lewis Slayton. 4 years it took him to come up with a dog and pony show to where he could show that, hey, I'm doing something. I'm gonna solve this case. So he dug up this Dixie Mafia thug that had been in and out of jail for so many robberies, I couldn't even keep count in the transcripts, just in and out of jail all of his life. And he was considered as a organized crime individual, code name for Dixie Mafia. They got this guy and fed him with some information to where he could come up and say, I was with Kathleen Scully right after the murders. And she told me about the murders. She showed me some cash that she had been paid to participate in the murders. And he told a story that the average person could probably believe, but not if anybody had ever read the original investigation of the three white guys in the white van and the other related stories about the killing of Eugene Barge and how the Dixie Mafia had sent letters, which I have. I'll try and put them back on my Facebook page, Charles L. Sargent Facebook. These are letters from the Dixie Mafia to the Hayteville Police Department, to the individual police officers in that department by name, telling them what to do, when to do it. They were, the Dixie Mafia was giving the police department in these precincts right around the airport their marching orders on how they're going to kill Eugene Barge. And the dates. They actually said that next Wednesday or Thursday, this will happen. Based on the postmark stamp of that letter, the last one that was sent to the Hayteville Police Department, the next Wednesday or Thursday from that letter, postmark date, would have been November the 6th and 7th. There's evidence that they attempted the murder on the 6th, but they overslept as they slept in a construction trailer down the road from Eugene Barge's house, and then they had to go back on the 7th and complete the murder. All this is in the FBI files. Lewis Layton, Tom Townsend, everybody had access to this, but they let them go. So this individual, his name was not the easiest in the world to pronounce, but it really doesn't matter. He took the stand and told a story about how Kathleen Scully and the Dixie Mafia hitman, Robert William Johnson, murdered the police officer. Now, this is the first time that Robert William Johnson's name ever came up in anything. It was never in the original investigation because he left town. I knew about Robert William Johnson because Officer Sheets, the police chief of College Park, told me that he is the one that actually killed a police officer. So for Lewis Layton to put on a dog and pony show to show that he's doing something to show that he's honest, he pulled this trial off. What catches my eye in this trial is that the defending attorney for Kathleen Scully, I don't think he's part of the dog and pony show. He's asking some hardball questions about other suspects. He's questioning Detective Tom Townsend on the stand, and he's trying to defend Kathleen Scully, who was involved, but she didn't kill anybody. They had to put the finger on a trigger man. And just so happens in 1978 that Robert William Johnson, the Dixie Mafia hitman, was already killed in South Carolina. So Lewis Layton was free to go ahead and charge a Dixie Mafia hitman for murder because he knew now that he wouldn't wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning one night with Robert William Johnson holding a pistol right between his eyes. Lewis Layton was free to hang Robert William Johnson now because he's already dead. So this defendant, this attorney for Kathleen Scully is probably the only honest person in the courtroom. I think Kathleen Scully is apprised. She's aware that it's a dog and pony show, and she's going to answer questions that will satisfy the scenario that is being put on, not telling the entire truth of what actually happened. When her lawyer asked Tom Townsend if he had any other suspects in this murder back in 74, did he investigate him? Did he do this? Did he do that? Did he question him? Did he do this? Did he do that? And he said, well, we had maybe 7-8 different suspects, and nothing ever turned up, nothing ever panned out on them. And so no, we really didn't have any other hard suspects until this con man, this Dixie Mafia thug, was released from prison to come testify in this trial. Until then, Tom Townsend said we didn't really have a case. We didn't have a case. But the attorney for Kathleen Scully asked specifically if Tom Townsend knew of the three men. He didn't use the term three white men in a white van. He asked, did you know of the three men that were arrested in Florida? No, he asked if Tom Townsend knew of the three men that were extradited from Florida and arrested for the murders. And he said, well, no, they weren't arrested. They were released. They were arrested. But the lawyer used the name David Hall and one or two of the other three white men by name. He says, do you remember investigating these guys? And he said, no. But yet the entire FBI file is nothing but Tom Townsend and others investigating these three white guys before Lewis Layton let them go. And they were, prior to that, considered to be guilty. So Tom Townsend, who just passed away, lied in a case of a fellow police officer to cover up the murder so that Lewis Layton's dog and pony show would pass the muster. The another officer, I don't have his name right top of my, I don't know, tip of my tongue, but another officer in the investigation was asked by the defense attorney about the 30 FBI agents that were on the scene being part of the investigation. And he questioned about this, that, and the other, and asked him, he says, did you ever get the feeling that even though you were in the investigation on the higher end, did you ever get the feeling that information was not being passed down to you, that you were being left out? And he said, yes. Tom Townsend was keeping information to himself and Lewis Layton. So I don't know how, I don't know how to end this. Lewis Layton's dead, and he's about as dirty as they come. So I'm going to take a pause here and get back with you. Okay, I'm going to finish up what I know about the Lewis Layton dog and pony show. I believe that it was truly a dog and pony show. I believe the prosecutor, of course, he worked for Lewis Layton. He was involved in this charade. Kathleen Scully was involved in it. And Officer Tom Townsend, who lied under oath in a police officer's murder trial, he lied. You can't get any worse than that. You can't get any dirtier than that. And I think Lewis Layton even went to the trouble of making sure that he had a jury that he liked because Kathleen Scully was found not guilty. And this case has been closed and never been looked at again. But the truth of the matter is, just because you try somebody for a murder and they're found not guilty, you don't stop looking for the guilty person. You don't stop looking. You don't stop looking to solve the murder of Eugene Barge. The only problem is the people in charge of this case did not want the truth found. They didn't want the truth to come out till Charles Sargent came along.